Welcome to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Tom Edwards. Today I'm joined by theatre critic Donald Hutera. We'll be discussing Rufus Norris' directorial debut as artistic director at the National Theatre in his production of The Everyman, French ballerina Sylvie Guillem's new show, which will be the final performance of her career, and the all-singing, all-dancing Beyond Bollywood at the London Palladium. That's all to come here on the Arts Review on Monocle 24. Welcome to the show, Donald. Great to speak with you, as always. Let's start at the National, where a version of a 15th century myth, The Everyman, is showing, starring Chiwetel Ejiofor, who people will know perhaps most prominently from his Oscar-nominated turn in 12 Years a Slave. It's been a bit of an all-star lineup behind the scenes too, with the National's new artistic director, Rufus Norris, directing, and original texts from poet laureate Carol Ann Duffy. It's a first production in a new stint. Is it a success?
I think so. It's spectacular. It's stylish. It's got some moral, metaphysical weight behind it. It's a centuries-old folk play, a morality play, but updated for our times. And it's, I think, pretty terrific. And wonderful ensemble energy. Rufus Norris works with Javier de Frutos on The Movement. And there's an energy and an immediacy to what they're doing and a wit that I thought was pretty sensational. It may be all right. Maybe it could have gone just a tiny bit deeper, but I felt I was given something inspired and from a theatrical standpoint and probably from a human standpoint, inspiring.
And inspiring was a word that was bandied about. We mentioned in the introduction the sort of on-screen performances of Chiwetel Ejiofor, who's a very, very polished actor and very good at conveying great emotional power. Does he bring that skill to bear on the stage as well?
Well, the setup is that this is a man who's turning 40, and it's his reckoning day. He's going to go before God, who is played by Kate Duchesne as a cleaning lady, and he's going to be judged. So he has to account for his life, and it's pretty dodgy, his life. He's rich, he's a consumer, he's self-indulgent, selfish, so he hasn't made such a good job of it. He's a dashing, desperate man, and so it's all about his downfall toward death, and the downfall is literal. It's one of the best entrances that I've seen on stage. I know I'm sort of spoiling it, but he descends from the ceiling slowly, arms flailing in front of a very large curved screen, and then there's this party animal, coke sniffing craziness for 20 or 25 minutes that is such a kick. It's absolutely fabulous. Maybe in some ways it's almost too fabulous, but there is something about this production that is sustained all the way through. That energy, that drive, that immediacy, that desire to entertain us and prick our own consciences.
Now, obviously, it's a play that deals, as you've described eloquently, with some pretty kind of big themes, quite troubling, it's quite testing. Is it a testing experience? I often wonder this when there are plays that, we watch theatre that deals with these very difficult issues to grasp. Is it a challenge to watch? Is it a challenge to consume? Or do you feel that there is this energy and there's enough skill on display, whether it's from the direction, the performances, the adaptation indeed, by Carol Ann Duffy, as we mentioned, that there's enough craft there to continue to divert?
Oh, absolutely. It's a hell of an entertaining night. That's the thing. It's got this preachy undercurrent or background, but it's an entertainment piece, and it's fast and funny and sharp, and it lasts about an hour and 45 minutes max. And then it's over, but it's memorable. I was really delighted by it and felt I felt grateful for having seen it. I was really glad that this team had come together to give me this. I felt it's smart and it's popular.
So what should we read, if anything, then, Donald, into this new reign at the National? I mean, is it kind of too early to say? It's hard to make to sort of extrapolate from one play. Or do you see things that give you a sort of a glimpse of the sort of kernel of truth that will be at the heart of this the new sort of regime there?
Well, I think it bodes very well. I also saw a production that wasn't directed by Rufus Norris, but is also a restoration comedy called The Beaux' Stratagem. Simon Godwin, who's connected with Bristol Old Vic. And that was also thoroughly enjoyable and witty and reaches its audience without dumbing down. So these are two very strong main stage. They're both in the Big House, the Olivier. They take full advantage of that communal large feeling that the Olivier Auditorium can bring us all together inside. And I had a great time at both of them.
So we're in safe hands at the National.
I think so.
At the time.
Yeah.
And that's good
to know. Early days, but
promising stuff. So that's the Everyman on at the National Theatre until the 31st of July. Let's head to Sadler's Wells, Donald, now for a dance production that's just come to an end, entitled Sylvie Guillaume, Life in Progress. This is choreographed by and stars the French ballerina, and this marks the end of her career as a dancer. First of all, before we talk about the specifics of this production, remind us about, I guess, her career so far, and to what sense does this, you know, bring down a fitting final curtain, if you will?
Sylvie's 50. She actually didn't choreograph, but she is such a vessel and such a force. I've got a friend who admires her who calls her Sylvie the Freak, but loves her. Her legs go miles. Her physique, her feet, her sense of drama. She is one of the great dancers of our times. And it's the end of her career, but it's quite a prolonged end because this show is going all over the world until to the end of the year. And fair enough, because she is a great dancer. And it's a vehicle to say an extended farewell to a great dancer. She was, at the age of 19, made an étoile at the Paris Opera Ballet by Rudolf Nureyev. She didn't have to work her way up the ranks. She was plucked from the lower ranks and made a star very, very soon because she was that good. And then in 1988, she began this long, close, quite affectionate association with the Royal Ballet. And it's been a real privilege for audiences here to see her, and indeed for audiences around the world still on this tour, even though I have some dissatisfactions with the actual work that she's doing. She's marvelous, but some qualms.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that then. What are some of the reservations? Or do you think it's difficult when you've had such a stellar career to retain that momentum, retain that power? Is that part of the problem almost?
No, she's got it. It's the work itself. She's so good that she transcends anything. I just don't think the repertoire is top rank. Akram Khan has done a piece for her called Techne, which is from the Greek, and she's sort of an Eve, and there's a kind of blasted tree of knowledge, and she's got marvelous scuttling insect thighs. There's too much fibrillating fingers in it for me, and too much obscurity. It feels both overblown and underdeveloped. There's also another piece for her by Russell Malafant, a female duet, a kind of mirror imaging duet, which is slick and chic and smooth. It's got fabulous lighting by Michael Hulls, but it doesn't. It's too slack. Mm-hmm. The finale of the program is Mats X by BYE, and it's an attempt, I think, to turn Sylvie into a sort of ordinary person. But she brings a lot of integrity to it. It's a little bit too cute and sentimental for me in a way. The audience adores it because they adore her, but I respect her for it. But the best thing on this program is the William Forsythe male duet that Sylvie is not in, obviously. And it had the tension and the wit and the cunning and a choreographic precision that I don't think anything else on the bill has. But everything else on the bill has Sylvie. So, I don't want to sound like I'm moaning a lot, because I was very, very glad to bid goodbye to her.
To see it. Yeah. I just wonder, on a personal note then, it intrigues me, what would you have liked to have seen her performing, perhaps, as this farewell thing? It go back to a highlight of a work you saw before? Is it something you'd always wished you had seen her performing? What would you have liked to have seen as that kind of final flourish?
It's hard to say, because what she's doing, she's not on point. She's become, just like Brishnikov did, she's become a contemporary dancer, but she brings those decades of ballet training. So, and she's marvelous in the classical roles, you know, doing Macmillan. She's doing Kenneth Macmillan and Frederick Ashton, Marguerite Narmont. She's amazing. She's still amazing. So I'm not sure. I felt she was superior to the material. It's not awful material, but I can't answer that. I will say that I'm pleased that I saw her.
Absolutely.
Again, this last time. And now I wish her well. And I think she's doing environmental activism and something. She's a very smart woman. So she'll make the most of it.
Absolutely. Donald, let's move on to our last selection of the week. This is Beyond Bollywood, which is currently showing at the Palladium here in London. Before we talk about its merits or otherwise, tell us what's the story of this one?
The story is that this is a production that's come from India. It's been directed, written, and choreographed by Rajiv Goswami, and it has a score by the Merchant brothers, Salim and Suleiman. And it's in the Palladium, which is not, to me, the most... I have problems with the Palladium, because when Michael Flatley did a piece in there, both in that show, his show, and this show, the digital projections are actually quite ugly and flat. Mm-hmm. The script is ham-fisted. It's about a young woman who is following her dreams. Her mother is a ghost floating around, encouraging her to follow her dreams. She hooks up with a young choreographer on the make, and he's got a sidekick. I mean, I'm not hugely well-versed in Bollywood, but I think this fulfills all the stupidities associated with Bollywood scripts. But I'm not sure that that is a reason to put it on stage this charmlessly.
Mm. Right.
The plus side of it is there's the leads are attractive, the two leads. I like them. And there is a lot of ensemble drive in the numbers, and they're fun and they're kitsch, particularly in the second half. The show sort of redeems itself, because the first half is just awful. It's like, oh my God, no, don't do that. It's too dumb. And then they go through one dance number after another, kind of traveling around India, you know, very tourism light kind of stuff, but different folk styles. So that has some pleasure. I'm grateful for that, but boy, was it tough sitting through
that.
It was
hard work to get there. What do you think the reason is when we see a production like this? Do you think there's a temptation to be a bit simplistic with sort of parachuting in a format that works very well in one particular, you know, marketplace and perhaps in one particular medium, whether it's on screen or otherwise, and just say, oh, well, this will work, bang in a few nice, nice numbers and everyone will be happy. Is it laziness almost, or just oversimplifying something that's actually more complex than that?
It's about cultural tourism and commerce. So they want to make money. There is a large South Asian population in the UK and in London. And it there's nothing wrong with catering to that and to others who want to know something about Indian culture. But I think, you know, they've got their eye on the box office. It's only a partly dreadful show. And because it's driven perhaps by that need to make a profit. There is some fun in it. You know, I don't want to knock it totally, just maybe half. I'll give it a little half punch. But it's not something that I'm going to cherish forever, this experience. And it isn't necessarily an experience that I needed to have. But, you know, I try to find the good stuff in it, as I always do.
It's because you're a profoundly positive man, Donald, and that's why we like hearing from you. So
I'm every critic.
Exactly. That's great stuff. And just in short, it wouldn't put you off if we saw Bollywood back on the London stage again somewhere else. This wouldn't have sort of, you know, jaundiced you against the experience.
You'd jump back in again. I love popular entertainment when it's well done, when it's not quite so stupid. And there's just a lot of really dopey things in the script, and groan, not kind of, you know, fun groaning, but like flat groaning.
And that's the bad kind.
That's the bad kind. But, you know, I give those dancers who are on that stage working their backsides off to give me a good time. You know, they're doing their best. I don't think anybody necessarily wants to make bad work. It just turns out that way.
That's great stuff. Beyond Bollywood is on at the Palladium until the 7th. And that brings us to the end of today's show. Donald Itera, thanks very much for joining us. As always, great fun to hear from you. This has been the Monocle Arts Review with me, Tom Edwards. Our producer was Holly Fisher. Our researcher was Fernando Augusto Pacheco. Join us again at the same time tomorrow. We'll be talking through the week in books. Do join us then. Until then, goodbye from me. Thanks very much for listening.